Coming up next, let me get ready to introduce our next talk with Steve Sanderson and Safiya Abdallah. This is a talk for Trailblazers. They're going to be talking to us about Blazor in .NET 5. How's it going, Steve and Safiya?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Oh my gosh. .NET 5 is so exciting, and I'm thrilled to hear that we've got updates for Blazor. Take it away.
All right, I will. Okay, so hi, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in or sticking on. I'm really glad that you're here. I hope this is going to be fun for you. This is going to be a lot of interesting stuff for you. So yeah, I'm Steve, and I work here at Microsoft on the ASP.NET team, particularly focusing on Blazor. And I am joined today by one of my superb colleagues, Safiya. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I am Safiya. I am also on the ASP.NET team with Steve and a couple of other fantastic people working on Blazor.
Awesome. All right, then. So in this talk, for about the first 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to be your guide, showing you a bunch of cool new things in Blazor. And then after that, Safiya will be taking over to show you yet more cool stuff. So to give you the big picture about Blazor at the moment, as we get to .NET 5, well, Blazor is going very well as a project. It's the fastest growing area of ASP.NET. We've got a lot of people using it. We've got lots of high profile usage of Blazor within Microsoft, and we keep hearing about it on the outside of Microsoft too. So as we came to .NET 5, we thought of what should we do? And we asked the community, and we were told about three main areas that people wanted us to focus on. So the three main areas that we are focusing are improving the developer experience. And that's things like improving the debugger, improving the code editor, improving the responsiveness as you change your code and want to see updates showing up in the browser. The second feature area that we focused on is improving performance on WebAssembly. We got quite a bit of feedback of people saying that they found cases where they really needed their Blazor WebAssembly apps to run faster. So we did a lot of work on that, and we've got some great results that I'll share with you later on. And then the final area is feature gaps. Because in .NET 3, that was the first real release of Blazor. So of course, there were some gaps in the feature set. And in .NET 5, we've worked hard to fill in as many of those gaps as we can. So those will be some of the main subjects of this talk. So really, what we're going to be doing is showing you through demos some of these new features. And to do that, we are going to need an application, a scenario where we can write some code and see out some of these new features. So let's have a switch over now to a code editor. And I'm going to do these demos in VS Code, but of course it will work just as well in Visual Studio for Windows or for Mac, but I'm going to do it in VS Code. And I'm going to start my application using .NET Watch Run. And the first thing you'll notice, first new feature in .NET 5, is that .NET Run will auto start the browser for you now. So that's a very minor feature, but it's a gets you started fractionally quicker in the morning. So hope you'll enjoy that. So now the application's running, let's talk about what it is. And I'll give credit to Safiya for coming up with the idea and basically implementing all of this. I'm just going to show it to you, which is nice for me. And what this is a notebook application, which is an interactive programming environment. And let's explain that by creating a new notebook. And you'll see that a notebook is a collection of cells in which we can write some code, and we can run them. So here, I've just executed this Fibonacci algorithm, and we found the fifth Fibonacci number is 5, or we could change it to 15, and we'll see that's a bigger number. And below that, we are doing some .NET stuff to get all the numbers between 1 and 10. For each one of those, we'll compute the Fibonacci number, and we'll convert that to a .NET array. And if I run that, you'll see that is nicely formatted as an HTML table. Because in this application, for different .NET types, we can have different formatters. All right. Now, the code for this application over here has two main parts to it. We've got this client project here, which is a Blazor WebAssembly application. So that is running our application on .NET inside the browser. We've also got this API project, which is an Azure Functions backend. So that's also running .NET code, but this is running serverlessly in the cloud. And the point of this is to show that we can wire these two things together and run our .NET code wherever we want, whether it's in the browser, in the cloud, or you know, all kinds of different places. All right, so that's the basic shape of this application. And what we're going to do is see some features. And the first feature we're going to look at is CSS isolation, which was a very heavily demanded feature by the community. People said they wanted it to be easier to manage their CSS. And people said, wouldn't it be nice if each Razor component could have its own separate CSS file? And the framework could take care of bundling all these together. And maybe it could even somehow make sure they are isolated so they don't interfere with one another. So let me demonstrate that to you right now. Okay, so back in this application, we've got this home screen and it looks a bit boring and plain and we've got this rubbish looking gray button. So let's make it a little bit more stylish, shall we? And to do that, I'm just gonna reorganize my screen a little bit and we'll get the editor over here and we'll zoom in on this pages collection. All right, so index.razor is my home screen. And you'll notice that alongside it, we've got index.razor.css. So this is the CSS isolation feature. Each component can optionally have its own separate CSS file. And if we look in there, you'll see it's just normal CSS syntax. You can do whatever you normally would do with CSS, but it's isolated to that one component. And to prove that, I'm going to do a slightly weird thing where I'm going to say, let's match all of the elements. And for every single element, we'll set its color to be red. And I'll hit save. And you'll also notice that in the browser, it auto-refreshes for me now. That's another improvement in .NET 5. You can set whichever set of file types you want to be automatically pushed and refreshed in the browser as you change your code. So now this welcome screen has gone red, but not the rest of the application. Everything else has just stayed as it was because the styles are isolated to that component. And that's nice because it means you don't have to worry about having globally unique class names. You don't have to worry about names or style rules actually clashing with each other, which simplifies your life a little bit. And sometimes you don't even need to define CSS class names for things at all. For example, if I want to improve the appearance of this gray button a little bit, let's say I just want to change the appearance of all the buttons in this component. Well, I don't even need a class name. I'll just match all the buttons in this component and I don't have to worry about it interfering with other components. All right. So now all the buttons here are going to have this blue background color and this 4 pixel border radius. And that's a nice improvement. And within the scoped CSS, we can also make use of static content. For example, I'm going to add a background image using this .net.png file, which is in my www directory. And when that refreshes, you'll see we now get the background image. Okay, so what have we learned? Well, we've learned that we've now got this CSS isolation feature. So each component can deal with its own styles if you want to. And we've also got improvements in the tooling so that when we make changes, they auto-refresh in the browser in a few seconds, which greatly makes things feel a lot more smooth. Okay. Now, this next thing, packages auto-add their own CSS and JavaScript. Well, in .NET 3, when you used a NuGet package that gave you Blazor components, if that package brought any scripts or styles of its own, you had to manually add references to them, which was bit tedious. But in .NET 5, this can happen automatically. And I'll show you that by adding a NuGet package. So what's the scenario? Well, let's go back to this code editor, shall we? And you'll notice that there's no syntax highlighting in there. It's all just black. And there's certainly no fancy features like IntelliSense code completion. So if I want to know what the current weekday is, I might type datetime.now and run that. And that works, OK. But what's the weekday? Is that the right property name? I'm not sure. Oh, no, it's not. Datetime does not contain a weekday. What does it contain? I don't know, because I'm a C-sharp programmer. I just want to use IntelliSense. Now, I can't do that yet, because what is this? This is just a plain HTML text area. It knows nothing about the code. So what I'm going to do is add a NuGet package to give a better text editor, better code editor. I'm going to add this package called Monaco Razor. Now, Monaco is a code editor that can run inside the browser, and it's actually the same technology that's powering the code editor in VS Code, so you know it's good. And now that's added to my project, I can use it. So I'm not using it yet. I haven't changed the code. Let's go and have a look at the code for that powering that code editor. So inside this file, codecell.razor, we've got a lot of code. Way too much code for you to read, so don't worry about reading it all. The only part you need to notice is this text area, which is just a plain HTML text area. So of course, it's got no syntax highlighting. But now I've added that Monaco editor, I can make use of it. There it is. OK. Now, I'm going to just drop in this tag that I've already prepared, and I'm going to need to add a using statement for that. All right. And you'll notice that it wants a handler for this get completions async method there. So let's fill in some logic to provide the completions. And I'm just going to drop in some ready-made code. Don't worry about understanding this yet. I'll show it to you more in a minute. I'm just going to press save, and that will automatically reload inside the browser. And we should see when it does reload that we've now got syntax highlighting, which is quite a big improvement. And we've also got IntelliSense. So if I start typing now, you'll see we've got this. And if I want the weekday, oh, it's actually called day of week. I didn't realize that. So I'll run that and we'll see it's Tuesday. Great. Okay. Now, how does that IntelliSense code completions thing work? Well, it's calling this method. And if we want to see what this method is doing in more detail, how about we use the debugger? Because that's something we've improved in .NET 5.2. In .NET 3, people had a bit of trouble using the debugger for .NET code on WebAssembly. It was kind of hard to make it connect. And even when it did connect, it didn't always give you the most useful information. But we've improved it a lot. So let me show you how easily we can attach the debugger now. I'm going to click this Attach to Blazor button. And it doesn't take a long time. It just pretty much instantly starts up the browser and attaches to the application in it. And that's it. OK, so let's have a go at setting a breakpoint here inside this get completions method right there. Okay. And I'm going to press the dot character here. And we should see that we've hit the breakpoint. And we can, of course, evaluate things, not just simple objects, but even complex typed objects all work now. And we can also step over awaits, which we couldn't do before. So if I hit the step over button, it's going to call the Azure Functions backend and continue asynchronously. And now we can see the response in great detail. We can see the individual bytes of the response if we want to, or all kinds of other information. We get as much data as we could possibly want now. Okay, so that was a package bringing its own CSS and JavaScript and improvements to debugging. Now, that's all I've got time for. It's the end of my working day here in the UK. I'm finished, I want to go home. So I'm going to submit a pull request with these changes in it right now. And then hopefully my colleague Safia, who's on the west coast of the United States, can carry on with the work and add some more great features to our project. So over to you, Safia.
Awesome, Steve. That was such a fantastic demo. You never fail to blow my mind. I'm actually really excited to tinker with some of the things that you've added. I love the new Monaco editor, and I love the work that you've done to improve the homepage for our application. So what I've done here is I've cloned the web app that we've created, and I've actually picked up your updates. I'm going to go ahead and run this application and show people some of the new things we've shipped in .NET 5. In case you haven't figured out, we've got a lot more to show you. I'll be picking up with this. Awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and run the same client application that you were showing just now. I'll wait for it to build. I'm going to go ahead and pop it open in my web browser here. Awesome. New homepage, fantastic button, all with CSS isolation. Loving what I see here. Now I've got a demo notebook that I want to show folks that showcases some of the new features that we were able to ship this time around. Cool. So you showed us the input cell, the code cell earlier with the new Monaco editor right here, but there's this first cell in my notebook that I want to show folks. It looks like there's a file picker in this cell. I can choose a file supposedly. So let me go ahead and click that, see what's going on here. Looks like I'm prompted with my operating system's file picker. I've got the salesdata.csv file that I'm going to be using for my demo. So let me go ahead and click that and upload it. Oh, that's pretty cool. Look like it's been uploaded somewhere. Let's take a look at what's going on behind the scenes here, because it actually touches on one of the first parts of my demo here, which is input file support. So let's take a look at the file cell component, which I'm using. Now, we'll see here that we're using this input file component. The input file component is a new component in Blazor with .NET 5. It renders an input HTML element with a file type, so you can use it to upload files in your web application. It supports handling multiple files and images, and all you need to do is provide a single onChange event handler that says what should be done when a user uploads a file. In this case, we're going to take the file that's uploaded, send it to our Azure Functions backend, store the contents in a variable. In this case, the variable is called file1 here. And then the user is going to be able to use this in their notebook for the remainder of the time. That's pretty neat. Liking this so far, so now I've got the sales data CSV file that's been loaded into my notebook and I can play around with it. And that's just what I'm doing in this next cell here. I'm going to be using the CSV parser package to read the contents of my file, this file one variable. I'm going to be parsing it and then I'm going to be displaying the raw data. So let me go ahead and click run cell here. It's going to take a little bit for the computer to do its magic, but in just a few moments, what we're going to see displayed, oh, perfect timing. We've got this lovely HTML table that shows the contents of my CSV file. I've got a couple of columns for things like regions, countries, item types, some dates, some floats, all this fun data. Now, I happen to know that there's about 5,000 or so rows of data in this table. And if I scroll through it, you'll see that the scrolling experience is buttery smooth. What's going on here? Typically, when you try and render 5,000 rows of anything in a web browser, it's going to knock down over because there's so many different elements to render. Things will get sluggish and performance will be degraded. That's not the case in Blazor with our new feature, which is virtualization. Virtualization is the ability to render only the elements that are visible to the user currently in the viewport onto the DOM. So in this case, I've got my gray output area here. You can see that I'm highlighting it with my mouse. And as I scroll, I'm only going to render the table rows that are going to be displayed in this table element. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to go ahead and inspect element here. And you can see that as I scroll through, the table rows are going to be updated. You can see I'm updating in the purple there. Now, how did I implement this virtualization feature? Did I labor for days and nights getting it just right? No, because I happen to be a Blazor developer and I can leverage some of the awesome features that shipped in Blazor. So let me go ahead and show you what's going on under the hood here. That's right, you better believe it, it's one line of code. I'm taking advantage of the new virtualized component. All I have to do is render this virtualized component, provide an items property with the data that I want to display, and then provide a child component that I want to render, in this case, my table rows. And that's it, my work is done. I've got a performant data display in Blazor. So quick and easy, I love it. Now, earlier, Steve was telling me about this awesome code change that he made, and he had mentioned that he had opened a pull request to our company's GitHub repo with the changes. Let me go ahead and check out the changes that he made. I've got his pull request right here, add better code editor. Now, what I'm going to notice is that there's this GitHub actions comment from a bot. Says, Azure Static Web Apps, your stage site is ready. Visit it here. All right, I'm kind of intrigued, so I'm going to go ahead and click this. And what I'm going to discover is that the changes that Steve has made have been shipped into a staging environment on Azure. And it's fully functional, so I can click Create New Notebook. I'll get our new default notebook. I can run cells, do all of the magic fun there. And what's going on under the hood here is supported by Azure Static Web Apps and Azure Functions and a little bit of GitHub magic. So if I go over to my repo, I'll see that I've defined a GitHub workflow. It's a simple YAML syntax that outlines when builds and deployments should happen when a user opens a pull request or merges a change onto master. What's really awesome is that I didn't have to spend years and nights again laboring over this YAML file. All I had to do was go on Azure portal, click a few buttons. This YAML file was automatically generated and added into my repo. And voila, we've got this robust CI/CD pipeline for our application with not a lot of effort to boot. And so that's support for Azure Static Web Apps with Blazor WebAssembly. Now, if you're excited about some of the things that we've demoed in this application, you can check out the demo code for the app at this GitHub URL. You'll see all of the features that Steve and I demoed and a little bit more. Speaking of a little bit more, we're not quite done yet. There's tons of other features and improvements and bug fixes that we've shipped in Blazor with .NET 5. And I want to get started by handing it over to Steve to talk about performance improvements.
Yeah, all right. So like I mentioned earlier, performance was one of the big requests after we shipped Blazor WebAssembly on 3.2 in very, very heavy scenarios where people had got thousands and thousands of UI elements or grids with, you know, tens of thousands of rows. People found that it was quite problematic. So we did a lot of work on that. We made changes inside the Blazor as a rendering framework inside the .NET base class libraries, inside the .NET runtime itself. And altogether, we managed to get improvements of between 2 and 4 times in typical scenarios. Can we have the slides back up? Awesome. Yeah, so we got some really big improvements there. Additionally, some of the smart people on the Mono team worked with the people on the Chromium project to make some changes in how WebAssembly is executed. And we got almost another 2 times gain on that, just in terms of browser improvements. So cumulatively, the difference between Blazor WebAssembly a year ago and now is pretty enormous. Protected browser storage. So that's a feature that we added specifically for Blazor Server. And that gives your Blazor application, which is running on the server, a way of storing data safely inside the browser. So if you want to store stuff in local storage or session storage in such a way that the end user cannot see what you've stored or interfere with it, then the protected browser storage feature does that by storing things with encryption in the end user's browser.
Cool. Well, Steve mentioned some of the improvements we've made for Blazor WebAssembly and Blazor Server. And with those two hosting models, you can run Blazor on a variety of targets. If you're running it on a Linux or Windows server, or maybe you're running it inside a modern web browser on WASM. Now, in .NET 5, we ship support for compatibility analyzers. And they allow you to decorate a project's or a library's project file or your function APIs with information about what platforms a function is supported to run on. So if you've ever been in the unfortunate circumstance where you've deployed an application to Blazor WebAssembly in the browser and discovered that certain APIs weren't available, like environment.getFolderPath or maybe console.readline, gone are those days of having to run into those issues once your application has already been deployed. With these analyzers, you get this info ahead of time when you're developing your application, so you can address them before you have to deal with the annoying stack traces and exceptions in production. Now, I want to jump back into talking about Blazor Server and a little bit about some of the pre-rendering improvements that we've made in .NET 5. Now, if you're unfamiliar, pre-rendering is the process by which you render the static content of a web page first, and then you make it interactive later using either Blazor Server or Blazor WebAssembly. Now, Blazor currently supports 2 render modes. You can render pages statically and then make them interactive with Blazor Server. In .NET 5, we shipped support for 2 more render modes. The first is WebAssembly pre-render, which is going to allow you to pre-render a web page of static HTML and then make it interactive later using Blazor WebAssembly. Then we also ship support for a WebAssembly render mode. And what this is going to allow you to do is you can actually leverage it to render Blazor WebAssembly in your existing MVC applications. And if this idea sounds interesting to you of being able to use Blazor WebAssembly in existing apps, I would encourage you to check out Dan and Javier's talk later today. It's titled Modern Web Development with Blazor and .NET 5, and they're going to go a lot more into this topic. So pre-rendering is really just one of the ways that you can improve startup performance for your application. Another is lazy loading, which allows you to delay when an assembly is loaded until it's requested by the user or it's needed to render a particular page. So in .NET 5, we ship support for lazy loading in Blazor. It's really done in 2 ways. The first is this build time attribute that you add to your application's project file, Blazor WebAssembly lazy load, that allows you to define which assemblies should be lazily loaded. Then we've also added new APIs to the router that allow you to define what will happen when a user navigates to a particular page. And we've added a lazy assembly loader service, which is going to take care of loading those assemblies lazily, loading them into the debugger, computing integrity checks, loading them from the cache if they've already been loaded. All of that good stuff is taken care of by the lazy assembly loader. This is just one of the features that you can use in .NET 5. Now, you would think that we are done, but we are not, because we've got more things to show. Steve, do you want to share some of the interesting stuff we've shipped?
Yeah, so we clearly do not have anywhere near enough time to talk about all of these in detail. But yeah, in terms of plugging some of those feature gaps that we mentioned before, so we've got things like the input radio component, the ability to programmatically control focus. We had a community contribution for intercepting how components get instantiated, so you can do that in a custom way. And JavaScript isolation, that's one of the ways in which NuGet packages can bring in JavaScript without requiring the end developer to add references. So that's a way of loading ES6 modules dynamically inside your Blazor components. Safi, do you want to talk about the other ones?
Yeah, we've also added, again, via community contribution, support for catch-all rep parameters. And we've also updated support for authentication in Blazor WebAssembly. So now we support the new auth code flow pattern with the latest version of Microsoft's identity platform. If that's something that's interesting to you, again, check out Dan and Javier's session, where they'll be going into a lot more detail about authentication. Now, believe it or not, all of these great features don't just happen because Steve and I work all night. It's actually supported by other members of the Blazor team and a variety of teams across Microsoft and within DevDiv and within the .NET team. And of course, with the community. Through the Blazor sprints, we've gotten tons of community contributions for new features and bug fixes that we've shipped as part of .NET 5. And VS improvements are going to be shipping today. I think it's past 10 o'clock, so VS 16.8 should be out. You can try it out now. And with that, we are ready for questions.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
There we are. Steve, Sophia, thank you so much for bringing us up to date on some of those cool new features. And you're right. There is just a whole treasure trove of new features there. And our folks in Twitter, asking questions with the hashtag .NETconf, have a handful of questions for us. I want to go over here to the tag board and let me see if I can bring up one or two that I think you can help out with here. Is this Yanez asks, can we use LESS or SAS or those types of CSS compilers for Blazor components CSS isolation?
Okay. Well, I was talking about CSS isolation, so I'll take this. Yes, is the answer. There's nothing built into the framework, but if you do whatever you want to make your LESS or SAS files get transformed to CSS before the .NET compiler runs, then it's just going to work. We don't really need to know that you've done that. You just set up a system, whether it's Webpack or some other mechanism for transforming those files, and it will work fine. I think we've got examples actually posted online.
Yeah, and we've got docs on this as well.
Yeah, it feels like that could be a build step you drop into your CS proj file. Cool. Moving on, there are one or two other questions I wanted to make sure that we got into. To include isolated JavaScript, do you add it the same way as CSS, index.razor.js?
Safia, do you want to answer?
Yeah, we don't currently support an index.razor.js pattern for doing isolated JavaScript. Although the way that it's supported is you can actually load any JavaScript module into your web application just using an import reference. So it supports all ES modules. And then you could invoke exported functions on those modules directly. So you can check out the documentation on that as well. We've got one of the great things that we've worked on as well is documentation for all these features. So it doesn't work quite the same way as CSS, but you can kind of achieve the same effect.
Okay. I want to go to one more question. Thank you, Clayton Hunt, for that question. I'm going to go to one more here from Cliff. Is there a path to move from MVC to Blazor?
Ah, well, that ties into something that Safia has been advertising subtly throughout her talk, which is that we've got another talk coming later on by Javier and Dan, where the integration between MVC and Blazor is one of the key subjects that they'll be talking about. So let's not spoil their talk, but you'll get way, way more information about that from them.
Coming soon. Fantastic. Now, I've actually got a question here. I'm going to use this as a little bit of a segue, but I have a final question I just want to highlight. How easy is it to upgrade to .NET 5 for Blazor? And this is actually a really good segue into our next talk, if you want to touch briefly on this, because coming up, I have Immo and Philip joining us to talk about migrating to .NET 5. Are there any gotchas that specifically to Blazor folks should keep in mind? And I'll save the second half of this question for our friends Immo and Philip coming in next.
I don't know that there are any special gotchas. Can you think of any, Safia?
Yeah, I can't think of any. I think there's some things that are subtly different to support some of the new features we've shipped, like CSS isolation, but nothing that's a gotcha. I think we've done a pretty good job of documenting everything. I know in a lot of the previews we went through and kind of caught all those issues and made sure they were documented and stuff. So shouldn't be any gotchas.
Fantastic. You two and the team do a great job of ensuring backwards compatibility with our user interface frameworks like Blazor. Thank you so much for that. And that was a great talk. Really appreciate you joining us here for .NET Conf.